Track 9. This is Brian Gall back at the sports desk where, preparing this on Tuesday, there's a sense of relief that England successfully came through their opening match in the Soccer World Cup with a win last night. Some of the so-called minor teams in the competition have already spread banana skins, Mexico beating Germany, Iceland forging a draw against Argentina, and England versus Tunisia certainly had the potential to join them. Fortunately, skipper Harry Kane had brought his predatory goal-scoring instincts with him from Spurs, and once with his boot and once with his head, he found the net to achieve a narrow but deserved victory. England now face the might of Panama next Sunday in their second group match, and it will be a super banana skin if they don't successfully come through that. But turning to local affairs, news from the First Division of the Worcester County Cricket League this week includes a local derby, Pedmore versus Hagley, which turned out to be a very one-sided affair. Pedmore, the home team, batted first and compiled a modest total of 172 in 40 overs. Hagley dealt with that in peremptory fashion and won the match by 9 wickets. Our neighbouring sides in the second division also provided one win and one loss on Saturday. Balbroughton beat Himbolton by 5 wickets in a match which was slightly delayed by a shower, while Old Swinford lost by 7 wickets at Wormalow. In Division 3 of the Birmingham League, Stourbridge missed a chance of going clear at the top when they only managed a losing draw at Whitchurch on Saturday. On a wicket which caused problems for the batsmen on both sides, Whitchurch were bowled out for 176 from the 55 overs, but Stourbridge suffered an early collapse and things looked black on 81 for 6 before a middle order pair stabilised things. However, scoring was never easy, and when the 55 overs were completed, Stourbridge were stuck on 160 for 8 and were consigned to a losing draw, which puts them level at the top of the league table with Stratford. Another local side, Old Hill, are in fourth place. And on the county cricket scene, Worcestershire's run in the Royal London One Day Cup ended at the semi-final stage on Sunday when they lost narrowly to Kent in the semi-final. Batting first, the home side compiled 306 for 6 from the 50 overs, including an unbeaten century from Cox. Facing that total, Kent squeaked home, reaching a total of 307 for 8 with 2 balls of the 50 overs to spare. Must have been great entertainment for a large Sunday crowd. In the final, Kent will go on to face Hampshire, who had an easy win over Yorkshire. It's been another of those weeks where your poor sports reporter has hardly known which way to turn. On Saturday, soccer from the World Cup, ladies tennis from the Nottingham tournament, an important step on the road to Wimbledon, and including Joe Konta in the semi-final, England's second rugby international in South Africa. Sunday, ditto, although no rugby. Monday, ditto, but the tennis has moved to Birmingham, plus the men's event at Queen's. Tuesday, tennis, World Cup. I'm completely exhausted without leaving my armchair. Then her indoors keeps reminding me that the lawn needs mowing, the bins have to be put out. You have no idea how stressful life is. And it's proving pretty stressful at present for England's rugby supremo, Eddie Jones, following the national side's second successive drubbing in South Africa. This was supposed to be a tour that would end with England 3-0 up, but so far they're 2-0 down. The pattern in the opening two encounters has been similar. England start brightly, build a worthwhile lead, then fall apart. No one seems to know quite why. Playing at altitude, perhaps? Being minus one or two of their regulars in the forward line? Trouble is, no one can now be quite sure who those regulars should be. What is certain is that the pace and fluidity of passing and moving among the South Africans has made England look pedestrian and short of ideas. They won't have the excuse of altitude when the final match takes place in Cape Town this Saturday, but I'm not betting they'll avoid a 3-0 whitewash before coming home. It has been 5 successive defeats now for England, and Mr. Jones is feeling the heat. Regular listeners will know I like to follow tennis, and this week Birmingham is the focus of the ladies' game with the annual tournament here. Young Katie Bolter was an early departure on Monday, beaten in straight sets by the Japanese Osaka, with Konta and Watson in action on Tuesday, but both made early departures, I'm afraid. Konta losing in straight sets against last year's winner of the tournament, Petra Kvitova, and Heather Watson also suffered a first-round loss in straight sets versus the Ukrainian Lesya Tsurenko. Meanwhile, at Queen's in London, a really strong field of world-class players has assembled, including a long-awaited return to action on Tuesday by Andy Murray. His first-round opponent was the fiery Australian Nicky Kyrgios. Perhaps it was no surprise that Murray, after an almost 12-month layoff, should lose. He took the opening set comfortably enough by 6-2, but lost the next two. Also in action on the same day was Birmingham's own Dan Evans, who played the Frenchman Manarino. And after losing the opening set, Evans took the second 6-love, raising home supporters' hopes, but he succumbed 7-5 in the third. And our present number one, Carl Edmund, who faced Ryan Harrison, the American, won comfortably in straight sets. Great Britain's current number two in men's tennis, Cameron Norrie, was a first-round victim, trounced by Stan Wawrinka, 6-2, 6-3, in less than an hour. So only Edmund, out of all these Brits, male and female, is left to carry the flag. The Speedway news this week includes two losses for the Wolverhampton Wolves. First of all, going down by 41 points to 49 in an away fixture at Somerset. Wolves set off in this match like a train and built an early lead, but they were gradually worn down by the home side and then recovered and put in a valiant fight over the last few heats, but by then they were too far behind to catch up. On Monday this week, they were in action again, this time at home, and not in a league match, but in the Knockout Cup competition. Each round of this contest is fought over home and away legs, and Wolves had little to play for on Monday, as they'd already been crushed in the away leg last month by 57 points to 33. They were not helped in the second leg by a serious crash involving their young and rising starlet, Nathan Greaves, but fortunately he was able to walk away from it. But defending such a big lead, Bellevue only needed to stay composed, which is what they did. Wolves will be thankful to return to home league action next Monday when Leicester will be the visitors. The Cradley Heathens, who are only taking part in the National Trophy competition this season, caused a minor sensation by winning away from home against Coventry, who until then had been top in this contest. Heathens won the match by 49 points to 40, earning an extra point by victory in an away match by more than 7 points. It looks like a three-horse race in this competition, with Coventry, who they defeated in this match, and Birmingham being the other two contenders. Looking ahead over the next week, the sports programme is likely to be dominated once again by soccer, 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 or, if you prefer, tennis, tennis, tennis. There'll be a short break for rugby on Saturday when England attempt to prevent a whitewash in their third and final international in South Africa. I hope they make it. England are much better than 5 consecutive defeats, which is where they stand today. And as a Scot, I have no reason to crow. My compatriots lost by 30 points to 29 to the USA last weekend. Whatever happens, I won't be here next week to tell you about it. I'm sneaking off for a week's holiday. Back in a fortnight. Till then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.